Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, folks, before we start the show, let's talk about our Amazon link, for the holidays at bobseska.com. Whether you're shopping for yourself or if you're buying music by one of our excellent indie bands, or if you're getting a jump on your holiday shopping without leaving your house, don't forget to use our Amazon link just beneath the logo at bobseska.com. Our special link will take you to the front page of amazon.com where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And by doing so through our link, we receive a teeny tiny commission on some of your purchases. Thanks for shopping through our Amazon link. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, from our nation's capital, we're here on a Wednesday. We're not doing the interview show, but I thought we'd use the Wednesday music anyway. So, Kimberly Johnson's here. Hi.
Hello, just call me Debbie Downer.
Pursuing the agenda of manicide, here's Kimberly.
But, I mean, as we're going to cover today, for however long it takes, there's no need to be Debbie Downer. I mean, there are things Well, there are.
Oh, I can find some things to be Debbie Downer about. Trust me.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some things to be Debbie Downer about, but they're things that we were already aware of, and that's
right,
my.
Yes.
That's my whole thing. Yeah. You know, it's one of those deals where anybody who's been following the Trump rallies for any length of time understands that they're radicals, understands that they have numbers backing them, and that they probably are not going away. In fact, today I was on the Stephanie Miller show, and I, after a few hours of sleep, I mistakenly tried to describe the first law of thermodynamics on the show in order to relate the concept of how the Red Hats were never going to go away, even with a landslide. Because the first law of thermodynamics means that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transforms into something else, some other form of energy. So the Red Hats today, you know, or the Red Hats for the last 4 years, were still going to be Red Hats after a gigantic Biden landslide.
Of course, yes.
And there were going to still be a few of them. I mean, my sincere hope was that this election would be such a gigantic mandate against Donald Trump that it might humiliate the Red Hats into being ashamed of their support for Trump. That was always a wild hope of mine. I mean, that was always what I thought we needed to do absolutely to have a perfect outcome for this election. But I didn't necessarily believe that that was the way it was going to turn out. I mean, I always thought that, I mean, haven't I been saying privately and on the show as well, that this was always going to be one of two things. It was either going to be a gigantic landslide for Joe Biden or really close. And here we are with it being really close. And it's got, of course, all of the ramifications of that. When you have this kind of close election and you've got a despot, idiocrat, authoritarian fascist in the White House, he's going to seize upon that closeness to try whatever fuckery he can get away with. And that's already started. That started last night when he got up and made that statement, which I did not see live because I gratefully fell asleep prior to that statement coming out. But, you know, it was the same shit that we've been hearing for 4 years.
Jibba-jibba-jibba-jibba, why are they so unfair? Why are they so unfair to me? Jibba-jibba-jibba.
And it was just that.
I actually won. I won.
Looking as pathetic as can be. So.
Yes. Well, just before we get into all of this, or at least before I address this. Number one, yesterday, I hit my toe so fucking hard, my baby toe.
Oh, and no. I thought it's the smallest. It's the useless toe. Well, let me get a pair of scissors. We'll just take care of
it. Yeah, but it hurt. It fucking hurt. And so I thought I might have broken it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, this morning, I woke up and it was better.
It was fine.
So, yeah. Thank God. Well, it's still kind of sore, but I mean, I can deal. So at least I didn't fucking break my toe.
Right. And we have the sound. We have the sound of when you injured it from last night. You smashed it in the bathtub, didn't you? And then suddenly it was. That was
pretty much it. Yes, that was it.
Which kind of also embodies your mood over the last 12 hours.
Yes, it really
or so.
Does. Yeah. I know somebody, I posted it about it on Twitter and somebody said, is it distracting you? And I'm like, no, it's just adding to the fucking misery. So,
yeah. And you know where my mood is right now? This is a good illustration of audio illustration of where I am right now. I'm just in that. Okay. I think we got this. I think we're okay.
See, remember in 2008 and 2012, we knew the night of that Obama won.
Yeah.
And
but,
I was hoping for that because, I was hoping for that because I figured, all right, we've had 4 years of Trump. He had not gained support.
Yeah.
It was like his approval numbers pretty much stayed the same. We know he lost some voters because, you know, he definitely got some Republican votes. He got independent votes. He supposedly got votes from women, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then as it turns out, he got 5 million more votes than he did last time.
Yeah.
And not only that, fucking Mitch McConnell won. Lindsey Graham won. It looks like Susan Collins may keep her seat. And so I understand that there are fucking red hats in this country. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought after 4 years of this that the American electorate was smarter. And so, number one, I don't fully trust what's happening. I mean, I don't, you know, I guess we'll find out as the months move on and, you know, talk. We'll have all the talk and people will tell us this. You know, I don't know how much Russia affected, you know, all the interference, all the attacking our social media. I know, you know, I don't know how much they had to do with, like, if there was any changing of votes. They still won't say that happened in 2016, but I'm not entirely convinced.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but what I do know is there are enough Americans that are gonna vote for somebody who cages children and lies and divides us so much.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like, you know, I mean, everybody, and I really do not want to hear, let's just get through today. No, 2024 is freaking me out right now.
Yeah,
because Democrats fail
You're borrowing trouble. You're borrowing trouble.
I don't care. Democrats fail to think in the long term sometimes.
That is true.
And that's what we need to do. You know, I've maintained that I'm not, when it comes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I don't sit there and point my finger and say, you terrible woman. But I think that both Breyer and her really should have considered stepping down in the first 2 years of the Obama term. Not because she's a woman, because Breyer should have done it too. Just because they've been in their seats for a long time. And I think both of them, because now he's 82. You know, both of them should look ahead and go, okay, what is the worst case scenario? No one would have ever figured Trump was the worst case scenario. No one would have ever thought that at that time. Mm-hmm. But we would have thought maybe Ted Cruz or something like that. So he would have installed someone just as horrible as Amy COVID Barrett. So it's like, let's look in the long term and think what's the best for the country and do that. And so that's what Democrats need to do right now. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, but if Kamala Harris is the nominee, I am frightened because I think she's incredibly capable, incredibly smart, but she's a woman and she's black and we live in a sexist, racist, bigoted country.
Yeah.
And I feel like, are they even going to give her a chance?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I mean, I just look at what happened with Elizabeth Warren. She fucking called out Bloomberg and she stood up to Bernie Sanders and nothing. Mm-hmm. She got like nothing. And she's so smart and she would do such a good job of running this country. But no way did they want to give her a chance. So, I'm sure some people are going to come at me for this, but I'm holding on this because I do not blame the women. I blame the patriarchy and the sexism.
And I want to separate this out. I want to get to the big picture in a little bit. But just as a preview, I just wanted to add to what you were saying that what has become abundantly clear, especially over the last two decades, if not over the last 2 days, is that American politics defaults back to Republican authoritarianism.
Yes.
And it is like, for the Democrats, for the normals in general, it is like pulling the world's longest elastic resistance band. And we constantly have to be putting tension on that. Otherwise, it's going to snap back to the Republicans. That is the struggle that we're in right now. And that is why it is so hard, even with massive turnout, even with a gigantic victory in the popular vote. That is why it's so difficult to overcome all of this, because for some reason, there are enough people in this country, and there are many reasons behind this, but there are enough people in this country to constantly be snapping us back to Republican authoritarianism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is a fact. That's what we have to contend with. That's why it's so important to remain unified with this as large a coalition as we possibly can. That is why some of the people that we've been talking about on the far left who have taken themselves out of the party entirely. And I think we know some names along those lines. Mm-hmm. And that is what they will never understand about all of this. They're still playing politics from 10, 15 years ago. It's amazing for progressives to still be engaged based on circumstances that we haven't seen in years. It's it's really breathtaking to observe that. And by breathtaking, I mean immensely frustrating and annoying.
Yes.
But let's talk about a few things here. I mean, before we continue on, I want to make sure that we lock down where we are right now with the votes. And I know some of you may be listening to this hours, if not days, after the fact. So first of all, just before we started recording today, a federal judge has said, and this is Judge Sullivan, I believe, said that U.S. Postmaster General DeJoy will have to be deposed or appear in the case in D.C. over the United States Postal Service handling and search for unaccounted ballots. By the way, I'm reading a hastily written tweet by someone else. That's why that sounded the way it did. That brings into play the idea of Florida, because we're talking now about what is approximately, what's the number, 27% of the ballots from South Florida. And remember, Miami-Dade is where Donald Trump ended up landing Florida because of the Cuban vote there. So in South Florida, the Postal Service failed to deliver 27% of the mail ballots, failed to deliver them. I think that's what's going to be landing in court today, as far as DeJoy and the Postal Service and Judge Sullivan. So, and I'm saying Judge Sullivan. I might be mistaken on that.
I think you're right.
I think I'm right. It sounds right. It sounds right. Meanwhile, David Plouffe said, I believe this is on MSNBC, Biden's lead is now currently bigger than Trump's final 2016 margin in both Michigan and Wisconsin. Yes. And is projected to grow. Estimates are his Pennsylvania lead will be bigger as well. If smaller margins were good enough for Trump to collapse the blue wall, larger ones certainly okay to rebuild it. So here's where we are at this point in terms of the totals. I believe that Joe Biden's minimum electoral vote total is going to be 270. I think Joe Biden's won this. And you know me, I'm very hesitant to make predictions like that these days.
You are.
So this is all based on the fact that in Pennsylvania, there's about, at last check, 1.4 million outstanding votes. Joe Biden leads, I think, in the range of like 70% among those outstanding votes still to be counted. Meanwhile, there's a strong chance for 290 electoral votes for Joe Biden, and that would include Pennsylvania. The 270 doesn't include Pennsylvania. 270 includes losing Pennsylvania for Joe Biden. Wow. There's a strong chance for 290 then, because I think PA is going to land in Joe Biden's category ultimately, maybe by the end of the week, and obviously minus any fuckery. The number three option would be 306 electoral votes for Joe Biden.
That would make me very happy.
Yeah, because you know what that would mean? That would mean Georgia and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. that takes us over the top there. So we've got Fulton County still being counted. That's Atlanta. And that could make up the difference. It's going to be a narrow, narrow margin, but it may be enough to put Joe Biden over the top in Georgia. That'd look really good on the map, wouldn't it? Seeing blue Georgia in the middle of that really red Confederacy. And finally, the long, long, long shot. I think this is still possible. I think this is still within the realm of possibility, but it's a long shot. And that's 321 electoral votes for Joe Biden. If Pennsylvania goes for Biden, Georgia goes for Biden, and North Carolina goes for Biden. So we get to 321 if we get Georgia and North Carolina. And that's all going to depend on those votes that are still outstanding.
Yeah.
That have yet to be counted. And obviously, I'm looking at Wisconsin and Michigan being Biden victories. In fact, I think I've already said, but I'm exhausted. So I don't know what I've said and what I haven't said yet, what was off the air and what is on the air. But Joe Biden has won Wisconsin with a margin of about 20,000 something votes.
They've been all counted, yeah.
Right. Trump's margin in 2016 in Wisconsin was 22,000. And so with all those votes in, looks like Biden's got Wisconsin in the bag. And that is proven by the fact that the Trump campaign has already announced that they're going to ask for a recount there.
Yes.
So well, that means they're basically conceding Wisconsin by saying we want a recount. Mm-hmm. If they want to spend the money on a recount, fine. They can recount it. Maybe Jill Stein will help them out. or Ryan Knight can help them out, probably. That's how it'll work.
You know.
Yeah, see, I deliberately didn't say his name earlier, and now I'm just blurting it out. That's sleep deprivation for you. That's me on zero sleep and about 12 cups of coffee this morning.
Well, we've got now at the I'm looking here. It's just the Associated Press.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got the votes for Joe Biden. The popular vote is 70,106,000.
Jesus Christ, then, that's 15 million more than Hillary Clinton's total from 2016.
But Trump has 67,356.
So. Oh, what did you say? Did you say 70?
Yeah, 70.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, it's 5 million.
Right. She had, 60.
She had 65.
No, she had like 60, 65.
65 million.
Right.
Yeah, give or take.
So, and he had 62 something. Trump had 62 something.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's at 67,356. So he got 5 million more votes.
Yeah.
This is what I don't get. But anyway.
Well, that's all about the power of propaganda and the fact that there are quite a few suckers in this country. And there's lots of things that are going to be debated and beaten over the past over the next several months. That's for sure. Yeah. If not the next several years, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to go, oh, the Democrats, why did they put up Joe Biden? Well, Bernie would have won. Blah, 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 blah.
I swear to God, I want to fucking kill those people today. It's like, you know what? Bernie couldn't get out of two primaries. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me he could have won, especially, you know, I saw somebody, I don't remember, it was a woman, and she did a whole thing saying Joe Biden was the best person to do it because can you imagine that, you know, how well that socialism thing worked with the GOP?
Yeah.
I do think Joe Biden was the strongest choice. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to maintain that my preference is always Elizabeth Warren,
mm-hmm.
just because her worldview is, I would say, the kindest and the most fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows what the fuck she's doing. She's not afraid to stand up to people, and you know, but she didn't get it, and I don't think she could have won.
No.
And I don't say that because of her. Again, it's not because of her. It's because of the electorate, the people that we're dealing with, you know, they are afraid of women, and I look at New Zealand and I'm like, can I just move to New Zealand?
The only Democrat, me too.
With a woman president
who
has flattened the curve on COVID.
In fact, I was chatting with the guy from Never Was, which is one of the independent bands we play on the show, and he's in Wellington, New Zealand. And saying, I'm moving down there. I said, clear out your guest room. We're coming down. Oh, yeah. You know what's weird, too? This is just a side note. When you're talking, I feel like you're right behind me, but you're not. Because usually when we do the after party,
that's funny,
we do the Friday after party, I'm sitting at my desk and you're sitting at a desk right behind me. Mm-hmm. And so it's so strange knowing that you're not in the same room right now. You're at your mom's house. So we're doing this via our special platform that we use to connect. That's how we connect with Buzz. That's how we connect with David and Jody. And it's so strange. It's like you're a ghost in my head. Okay, so getting back to things here. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf confirmed all of the ballots have been counted in Wisconsin. Joe Biden at that point in time was ahead 20,697 votes. And then she got on MSNBC and clarified, oh, yes, I spoke too soon. Mm. And then I went, I made your screen. That was the noise that I made as soon as she said, I spoke too soon. I was like, oh, shit, here it comes. Here it comes. And it turned out it was just they hadn't counted one township in Wisconsin that has about 300 votes in it.
So I
started out at that and then went right back to my music. Just like, okay, this is fine. I'm good
See,
now.
But I know you don't. Okay, well, I don't. I guess this would count. This might count with the bigger picture.
Okay.
But if we don't win the Senate, then we're not going to expand the fucking courts. And that's another thing that I'm a Debbie.
Well, yeah, it's another thing. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other thing. The Senate right now is still, I mean, there's still a possibility
still
for, what,
play.
50 seats for the Democrats. That's still a possibility here. But obviously, that's been, I think, a source of even bigger disappointment than the non-landslide. And again, with three, it could be 321 electoral votes when all is said and done. I mean, that's a much larger margin than Trump got last time around. And it's pretty damn close to what Barack Obama got. I mean, we're nearing Barack Obama 2012 status. Yeah.
Well, the truth is we were warned, you know, this was coming. Mm-hmm. There was going to be this idea of a red mirage and you know, and then Trump was going to declare victory and it's all happened.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm going back to like in 2008, or 2000, both 2008 and 12. I mean, we called it that night. We knew that Obama was going to be the president on that fucking night. And I just feel like there was all this angst and upset. You know, people were upset and ready and motivated and everything in 2008 after 8 years of George Bush. And okay, we only had four of Donald, but it felt like 104. And it's like, why didn't we get, I mean, I know it was just a small win, but Obama won Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, my God, how is it that we didn't have that? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know,
It was a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm of the right candidate at the right time. It was the fierce urgency of now that Barack Obama talked about throughout that campaign. And that was one of the most genuine pieces of analysis that I had ever heard about that election. It was the fierce urgency of now. Barack Obama came along and was the exact right candidate at the exact right time for the United States. Yeah. And we saw that bear out.
I think it didn't play out. The same thing about Biden.
What's that?
I think you could kind of say the same thing about Biden.
Well, but he certainly doesn't have the charisma of Barack Obama.
No, he doesn't.
But that's not to say, I mean, Barack Obama is kind of an aberration. Barack Obama is like a once in a generation kind of presidential candidate. Yeah. We don't have lots of Barack Obamas throughout the 45 president history of the United States. Very few, in fact. I think a small, much smaller percentage than we would even be able to predict. But let's see. In 2012... Barack Obama's re-election campaign, he ended up with 332 electoral votes. And it's possible if Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina, he ends up with 321 electoral votes. That's just 11 fewer than Barack Obama got in 2012. And Barack Obama won Florida in 2012. Barack Obama did not win Arizona in 2012. Right. He did not win North Carolina. He did not win Georgia, certainly. He did win Iowa. Yeah, there was that. The six electoral votes of Iowa. Congratulations. But, you know, this is we're in a new era now. We have to continue to focus on the notion that our national elections hinge on just the most wafer thin margins, the one or two electoral votes. I've been saying this since the Never Trumpers emerged on the scene and when they started to team up with Democrats. I've been saying this from that point forward, that we need every vote. We need every supporter. I don't care if they used to work on the Sachs-Chambliss campaign. I don't care if they used to work on the Rand Paul campaign. If they're helping us now, I'll take those votes. I'll accept those votes as help because, again, we're talking about wafer-thin margins, and so every time we can get an extra vote, we get an extra vote. Because the alternative is not, more moderate, you know, Democrats winning. The alternative is this bastard deformed movement on the right with Trumpism and QAnon. I mean, that's the alternative right now. It used to be in this country where if there was a changeover from a Democratic president to a Republican president or vice versa, the people who supported the losing party were like, well, I mean, how really terrible could it actually end up being? Because most presidents operated within a range of center right to center left. That's generally how it used to go. But now when the Republicans win, it's like, you know, when Large Marge scares Pee Wee Herman in the truck, that crazy face that she makes. That's what happens when the Republicans win now. So, again, it's so crucial that we stop this fuckery in and amongst this intramural bullshit on the left where we're, you know, there are people who need to get on board. And if they don't want to get on board, that's going to be an ongoing issue. Because it's an all hands on deck climate right now in politics, and I don't see it ending anytime soon.
No, it won't. And I just have some bad news.
Oh no!
Sarah Gideon called to concede. Called Susan Collins to concede.
Ah, for fuck's sakes, we're gonna have to deal with Susan Collins now again. And yeah, I mean that's the downside of ending up with 49 or 50 seats in the Senate. I mean, 50 plus Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will give us a majority when we need it. But we're going to have to be relying on cajoling those people. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski,
like,
and even red state Democrat Joe Manchin. We're going to have to cajole them too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the Senate and Mitch McConnell, that's the most depressing thing.
That is.
Mitch McConnell,
I just want to say.
Mitch McConnell gets to retain his larval mucus pod inside the Senate, you know, where he goes in at night and recharges his evil powers. You know, that's going to keep going, unfortunately. But it was probably going to keep going anyway. It was just a matter of, is he majority leader or is he minority leader? And also good news that Mitch McConnell, I think, is like 79. So there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel there.
And
I hate to be
black.
Morbid, but fuck him.
And his hands are black, but oh shit!
Yes, he's rotting from the hands up.
Oh, and you know, but I want to say something. And last night, Tom Nichols made me so fucking angry because he was basically saying that both parties are going to take the wrong lesson from this, which the Republicans are going to take you can win by being bullies, and the Democrats are going to think that they have to move far left. And I wanted to kill him because Democrats never move far left. I mean, we definitely get pushed. We definitely do.
Yeah, he was wrong about that.
We do have people like AOC, and you know, there are some people in our party who are more left and more progressive. Not to say that they're like the Ryan Knights, but you know what I mean. They're more progressive, like Elizabeth Warren. But I think that, you know, what's his name was Charles Booker. He was running against Amy McGrath in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
He really came close right at the end, but she won. And I know she was the favorite of the DNC. And I would really like to see now what it would look like if somebody like Charles Booker did run. I'm not saying he would win, because look what happened with Jamie Harrison. He was a fantastic candidate, and still Lindsey Graham won. He got all this money, and still Lindsey Graham won. But what I would like, instead of going with what is considered to be the safer choice, which was Amy McGrath. Now, granted, she was a woman, which is a progressive move, I think, for Democrats to run a woman in a place like Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles Booker was going on all the, you know, on all the progressive, all the progressive policies. And I don't know what he would have been able to do, but we have seen both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders convince West Virginia voters that they wanted Medicare for all. And so if you get the right personality in there who is able to like talk to those Trump supporters and those far right extremist types who really just don't understand things, and when they're explained by somebody who knows what they're talking about and has charisma, they can tip over to the other side. Mm-hmm. And so Amy McGrath, the thing that really bummed me out about her is during the debates with McConnell, while he was laughing about the fact that they weren't going to give us a stimulus, she said nothing. She didn't say, why are you laughing? How can you laugh? She was weak. And I was surprised because she's a fucking fighter pilot. And the way that she was sold was that she was this tough fucking woman who wasn't going to take shit from McConnell. And then she did. And I don't, you know, I'm not even going to say that's why she lost. She lost because she's a woman who's a Democrat running in Kentucky. But I would not mind seeing some people who are a little bit more progressive in these red states, because if we're going to lose anyway, why don't we see what we can do? And I'm not talking about these. When I say progressive, I want to be very specific. I'm talking like Warren progressives. I'm talking like Randy Bryce. I'm talking about people who understand that they can't just take over, that they have to work with the other side. You know, progressives like me who, you know, I think I'm pretty fair and I get it. And I don't hate centrists, and centrists can be your friend. So it's like, I'd like to see some of that, you know, in the future, because I think in this era, playing it safe works against us.
Well, so you're actually confirming what Tom Nichols was saying. You're actually saying we need to move farther left.
No, he said that he said Democrats are going to take the wrong lesson and think they have to go farther left.
Yeah, but aren't you saying that we have to go farther left? Oh, you're saying, but the analysis, that's the wrong lesson.
Yes, okay. I'm saying fuck him for saying that, and I mean, and it really just depends on the situation. But Charles Booker was quite popular, and again, I am not saying that he would have won. I think he probably would have lost. You know, I mean, he was a black man going against Mitch McConnell in a very red state. So again, you had a woman going against McConnell in a very red state, and she was creamed by him. So I do think that, you know, that's a tough one. You know, that's a really tough win for Democrats. But it's not out of the picture, and with the right kind of progressive, and it would have to be the right kind of progressive.
Well,
certainly it wouldn't be Ilhan Omar who could win over there. You know, I mean, she wouldn't be able to do it.
Just before we move to Minnesota, I want to go back to Amy McGrath and Mitch McConnell. I wonder, just as a counterpoint to what you're saying, I wonder if Amy McGrath may have fared better if she could have focused on Mitch McConnell earlier rather than having to defend against a progressive primary challenger. You know, it was a pretty tough fight. She had a fight for her life to get through that, didn't she? I mean, wasn't it relatively close?
Yeah, I mean, it did come close. And maybe you're right. I don't know. But what I do know is that sometimes we underestimate the ability to convince, like, you know, there Elizabeth Warren was on some panel back in the Democratic primary, and there was a woman who was just absolutely sickened by both sides. And after the debate or conversation, I don't know that she was sold on Elizabeth Warren per se, but she kept shaking her head yes and said, yes, we need a woman. We need a woman. So she kind of went from everything sucks to listening to Elizabeth Warren and then kind of getting pulled over into that court. And so I do, you know, I mean, yeah, I think the country is fairly centrist when it comes to Democratic policies. But at the same time, we want Medicare for all. We want the gun reform. We want all this stuff. I think that if we have the right people, you know, I mean, and you know, everybody should pretty much know how I feel about Bernie. Not a big fan of him, but I like his, you know, progressive views. I don't think he could have won the presidency either, because people are saying that and pissed me off. But he does have that ability to talk to Trump supporters, and he gets them to listen. Not everybody has that ability, but he does, you know, get them to really listen, and then he can change their minds. And so, you know, Democrats, I think, should really consider with progressives. I mean, it's hard because it's all about charisma. You know, I mean, you got to have the charisma or you just can't do it. So but I would like to see more of that than trying to always fucking play it safe. And sometimes I think we pander to the Republicans too much, you know, and that's like, I've said it before where, you know, I mean, said it on your after the after party. Like, see, I'm not even tired. I'm just like in this world of crazy, but, you know, we've let them screw the word feminist. We've allowed Republicans to dominate. Yeah. All that shit is like, liberal is a bad word. Feminist, we got to stop that shit. We have to stop that shit.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. That is evergreen. Everything that you just said is pretty much evergreen. Although the Bernie part, you can send your complaint tweets to author Kimberly at the website twitter.com. Because I'm not going anywhere near that one. whatever we can do to maintain cohesion, I'm fine with that. I think prioritizing winning is probably a good way to go. And the only problem, though, is, and this is big picture stuff, but the only problem is we're never going to fully be able to overcome the propaganda and disinformation and outright slander without doing it ourselves. I mean, that's the problem. Clearly, in the United States, there's a significant number of us. What did you say Trump's total is right now? 67 million people would rather be indulged than to act responsibly. And that's an issue with the people and what is inside their heads. This is not something where suddenly Bernie comes along and says, hey, you know what, that indulgent thing where you guys really just want to be pandered to? No, it's not going to work.
I want to go back because I know I sounded a little bit hypocritical because I genuinely feel Biden was probably the best person. I don't know what Buttigieg would have done.
The only person who could have done better than Joe Biden, the only living Democratic leader, is a leader who could not run for president, and that is Barack Obama.
Right.
That is the only man who could have done better than Joe Biden.
And you know what? He seems like the safe choice.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like the safe choice because we did need those people who maybe were not, you know, the independents or the never Trumpers, and Biden made them feel comfortable. I don't know that they would have been comfortable with Elizabeth Warren or, you know, Kamala Harris. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to believe they would, but I don't think they would.
I want to clarify and make sure that this is entirely clear that while we are doing some analysis here, I think our analysis does not quite match where we are electorally. I think we're in much better condition than to be sitting here wondering why, oh, why do the Democrats suck? You know, that's not, we're not in why do the Democrats suck.
I don't think they suck, but I think that, I mean, it goes, look, we can, it's just fucking football game. You look at what happened, and then you go back and you analyze the moves and you say, where can we improve? So it's not about Democrats are fucking stupid. It's about where can Democrats really have the most, like, make the most impact? How can they, you know, win and bigger?
And right. That's the key. That's, I mean, we need to. It's winning bigger. It may not be in the cards. Winning by the skin of our teeth. Moneyball. I mean, you see the movie Moneyball. It's about finding that path to, in the case of presidential elections, 270. In the case of, you know, down ballot races, some other margin similar to that. This is about finding those little openings to win, to not game the system, but to approach the system the way it is rather than hoping the system becomes something else. And we need to reform the system itself. It's a whole other conversation. But right now, the way Donald Trump has been able to get to this point is by finding those little teeny tiny pinhole openings and exploiting them. And I think that's the best option. That may be the only option for Democrats is a future, at least through this first half of the 21st century, a future where our national elections are decided by wafer thin margins, that there is extreme divisiveness where we're talking about 51 to 49 kind of victories or 50 to 50 victories where it's a teeny tiny margin in between there. This is where we are right now. And this is the battlefield on which we have to fight. We can't suddenly now, we don't have the power. We don't have the votes in Congress. We don't have the White House yet to be able to make sweeping reforms to the system. That mandate has not arrived and it may never arrive. So I think one of the things that Joe Biden's got to do when this is over is pretend as if he had a mandate. Just say, you know what, look, you get close to 300 electoral votes. You get a margin of 5 million more popular votes. You treat that like it's a fucking mandate because Donald Trump took 306 electoral votes last time around and behaved as if he got the key to the world. He said, I can do anything I want now. And that's how he acted for the last 4 years, as if he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And the American people gave him the right to do it. The American people gave him the political capital to make it happen. And that's the way Joe Biden has to act. It doesn't require Joe Biden selling out his integrity. It doesn't require Joe Biden lying. It just requires Joe Biden to take a tough approach and say, look, this is a hard fight. It's not the easiest thing in modern America to unseat an incumbent president. The last time it happened was 28 years ago, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
That was George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. And one of the only reasons that went down is because there was a strong third party candidate in Ross Perot. Right, which is, again, another once-in-a-generation aberration in our system.
I remember Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live just going, I'll pay for everything.
Let me finish. Would you let me finish?
And he was rich, and he was like, whatever problem, I'll just throw money at it.
I got my alligator hand pointing stick here. Remember he used to do those like infomercials in prime time for half an hour, and he had just a series of charts, and he had a stick with a severed alligator hand on the end of it. I go, let me show you right here. Now, this is a big sucking sound that you call NAFTA. And he was just pointing out where all the money goes. God. Charts and
oh my god,
that was a crazy fucking
Dana
election.
Carvey was really funny as
yeah, of course,
as that guy, and he, you know, just that he I'm gonna give him $100 million, and he's I can't,
and his weird colloquial metaphors, like
yes,
there are too many chickens in the barn, too many donkeys in the woodshed. What does that even mean, Ross Perot? That means NAFTA has got to be repealed. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, just talk in English, will you? So it was a long time ago when an incumbent president got unseated, and it looks like the incumbent president's going to get unseated again. This is a Herculean task. And given the fact that Joe Biden really couldn't campaign normally because of the pandemic, and Donald Trump, on the other hand, did all the campaigning he was going to do. I mean, minus that period of time in which he actually got the pandemic. That's the thing in this country. You pander to people, you act like a populist, you make all kinds of not only huge unattainable promises, but also levying all kinds of actionable slander against your opponent and your opponent's family. Well, and you tell people that the economy is doing great, and you echo this nonsense through the amplifier of the office of the presidency. Yeah, people believe they're fucking president. That's a problem here. That's part of the overall dynamic. It's not the sole thing that contributes to this wave of Trumpism in this country, this wave that seems to be crashing a little bit here. But it's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. You indulge your voters, and they're going to love you. You tell your voters, no, look, you don't have to act with any sort of responsibility in this thing. Do whatever the fuck you want. Send your kids back to school. Go to the gym. Go to restaurants. Don't wear a mask. Fuck it. And everyone goes, yeah, because... yeah, that makes me feel good. I don't have to do the right thing, which is hard. It's hard work doing the right thing. And so that's a big contributing factor to all of this. Meanwhile, I don't want to wrap this up before we mention, once again, that Georgia is still in play. I keep going back to this. This could be the big surprise of this election, that Georgia goes blue. Georgia apparently still has 200,000 ballots to be counted. Trump leads by just 104,000 votes. That was long ago. That was about an hour and a half ago. So that may have changed since then. Also, one thing that puts a smile on my face. Puts a smile on my face that it's the Trumpers today who are biting their nails down to the goddamn quick. And I assure you,
I am too, but still.
Well, but they're doing it more because you know why? Right. They're in that terrible position where whatever lead Trump has, it's dwindling. It's going down. Remember all those nights that we were watching election returns?
Yes, I remember.
Previous elections, and our candidate may be leading, but it's a thin lead, and the lead is dwindling as time goes on, and how nauseating that is. Well, that's happening to the Trumpers right fucking now. And quite honestly, I'd much rather be in the upward trend with Biden gaining than Biden winning, but losing. Winning, but with the dwindling lead. I wouldn't be surprised if we stopped recording right now and they called Wisconsin.
Well, they haven't, because I'm obsessively refreshing the AP thing.
Keep a closer eye. I would suggest keeping
a
closer
eye. But Wisconsin doesn't get him to win. So.
I would say keep a closer eye on Nevada than ever. Yeah. Or Nevada. What?
Nevada.
I keep saying it wrong.
It's only
I'm
six
always
electoral
getting corrected
votes.
On it.
So Wisconsin is 10.
Nevada.
And Nevada is 6. So he's at 238 right now.
Yeah. Well, he's got to. I mean, Joe Biden's got to win Nevada. That's a fact.
You
and
know what? I just got to say. That okay, I always understood Texas was a long shot, but I was so hopeful.
So close. It's getting there.
Well,
not this time.
Not this time. I mean, it was Trump won at 52%. Mm-hmm. You know, Biden got 46%. So it was 58, 5,800,000 that Trump got and Joe Biden got 5,100,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here's one thing. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you were watching MSNBC too, and Kornacki was showing us like what it was in 2008 or 2012, 2016. And obviously, whether it was Texas or other red states like maybe not Florida, but there were like Georgia and stuff like that, where you could see the trend moving more blue.
Yeah.
And so I think eventually, and you know, I saw Hank Gilbert lost to Louis Gomer
by a lot,
which is really, really bums me out.
Gerrymandering. That's gerrymandering.
It's gerrymandering, and there was other issues going on.
But that changes. If Joe Biden wins and there are enough state legislatures that go Democratic, then the gerrymandering is going to swing the other way. So watch for that. Yeah.
Oh my. Yes. Yeah. And that will definitely make a difference. But it's just, you know, bum me out because Hank is such a cool guy. And then also, you know, he had been watching the Mueller hearing and Louis Gohmert was screaming, acting like a dick. And so Hank's deceased wife.
Yeah.
You know, he heard her say, "You got to run." She had always pushed him to run against Louis Gohmert. And he might have once, but I don't know. He ran for something.
Yeah.
Not against Louis Gohmert. But anyway. So he said within, you know, a few minutes he was on the phone getting his campaign ready. So it just kind of bums me out, you know, because he got a voice from the grave, man. Yeah. And then he lost.
Right.
You know, it's like he's such a cool dude.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, there are a lot of down ballot races that kind of turned out.
And same with Rob Anderson. He lost in Louisiana. He was on my podcast a couple of times and he's super fucking cool and he lost. And, you know, I hate to say this. I think Stephanie lost her bid in Oakland.
Oh, no. That's Steph Walton. Yeah, your co-host. Yeah, yeah, that's terrible. Bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Senate is a little bit of a disappointment. I don't know what exactly happened there. You know, my focus is mainly on ousting Trump. So I haven't been following the Senate races closely. But yeah, it's still really, really depressing.
Yeah.
All those down ballot races. Let's see what else here. This is good. Here's some good news from Minnesota. Just by way of a flashback, Yamiche Elsender posted this earlier. President Trump said in September while campaigning in Minnesota, "If I lose Minnesota, I'm never coming back." So congratulations, Minnesota. He's never coming back. You don't have to worry about Trump spreading his stink, smearing his stink all over your state. So, yeah, there's a little bit of an upside there. You noticed last night, Donald Trump's first tweet, he misspelled the polls. I mean, that's everything you need to know about Donald Trump and his fucking dumb fuckery is emphasized in this tweet. His first tweet, as everything was happening, he said, "We are up big, but they're trying to steal the election. We will never let them do it. Votes cannot be cast after the polls, P-O-L-E-S,
oh my God,
are closed." So I'm wondering if Charlie Kirk ghost tweeted that or if that was a Trump fuck up. Because it could go either way. Or even Junior, I think, would misspell that word. Lots of them have misspelled the words. You know? And also, I wanted to add on a serious note that my other concern is this. And this is something that Donald Trump and his disciples will never grasp. They'll never understand how this kind of ripple effect occurs. But all of this fuckery, Donald Trump throwing the election into chaos, as we all predicted, saying that somehow counting the votes is illegal and wrong and bad.
Right.
We're just counting the fucking votes. He has not come up with a single thing that shows any kind of illegality. And he's going to end up before the Supreme Court going, oh my God, they're counting the votes. What are we going to do? And the Supreme Court, even the fucking people he's appointed to the Supreme Court, are going to be like, "So why are you wasting our time? Please, can you please just go away? We've got work to do here." And that's how that's going to be received. But the problem with this kind of behavior is not just that it undermines the integrity of our elections here domestically, but it sends the wrong message to emerging democracies. Holy fucking shit. The ramifications of emerging democracies, seeing how Trump's behaving, and then suddenly democracy is no longer on the table and authoritarianism is, that's when suddenly we have to go, oh my God, there's this new dictator. We have to topple them. Send American soldiers in there to die.
Yeah.
And so this is how
exactly right
this kind of loose talk from the president of the United States using the office of the presidency as an amplifier to scream this awful, awful counter democratic idea or series of fucking blurts into the atmosphere. The long-term consequences of that, the blowback of that, are just horrendous. Just fucking horrendous. And that's not grasped by people who have once again been told that you can do whatever the fuck you want because I'm mm-hmm. the president now. You're right, white yeah. and you support me. Have at it. This is your time. This is your sandbox, your playground. Go nuts. Have sugary foods. Run with scissors. I don't care. Stick your tongues into the electric sockets. Go. I'm not going right, to stop yeah. you. People love that. People mm-hmm. love to be indulged like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire genre on television that's all about indulging just our desire for bubble gum. Mm-hmm. You know, reality television, sports. It's all just like, here, chew on this. Yeah, go have fun. That's why Donald Trump made such a big deal. I saved football. Because, you know, he knows which veins to tap.
Yeah,
it was already there. Roger Ailes, years mm-hmm. and years ago. In the 1970s, in fact, knew that there was this sucker demographic in America.
Right, yeah.
All you got to do is go to one of these faith healing revivals, you know, yes. sort of thing. Remember that Steve Martin movie? What
yes.
Was it called? It wasn't Medicine Man or it was Holy. No. It was like Holy Man or something like Holy Shit. I don't know what it was. It was a Steve Martin
Holy
movie.
Holy Shit. I'm going to look it up. It was called Holy Shit.
Yeah, it was Steve Martin and Deborah Winger and yeah. Liam Neeson. Was there? Yes, Liam Neeson kind of played the good guy.
Leap of Faith.
Leap of faith. Thank you so much for looking that up. So, Leap of Faith. You just see, oh my God, look at right. all these people who are so willing to give over their life savings mm-hmm. to a con man. We can use this. So why don't we start feeding mm-hmm. these people all kinds of things that they want to hear? Right? Doesn't have to be truthful.
Foreign adversaries also.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like China and Putin.
Right.
And these men, especially like Putin, looked at our country and saw that it was basically an idiocracy.
Yeah.
And said, oh, I can exploit this. I can, you know, I can use this. Mm-hmm. I can use that country to get what I want or what I need or whatever. And so that's really sad that, you know, I mean, I'm a broken record.
Yeah.
We need to have better education. We need to fund education and we have to figure out how to get the Fox News off the air. I mean, I think we could handle if all we had to deal with was like the right wing talk radio, we're always going to have some kind of, you know, fringy lunatics saying whatever and people yeah. following them. That's always going to happen. But when you have a whole network dedicated to it and that network is taken seriously, which mm-hmm. it is,
yeah.
maybe not by me and you, but it's taken seriously, then there's a huge problem. And that's, it's going to keep us, you know, I mean, you look at other countries who like New Zealand and they've been able to elect a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to flatten the curve of COVID. You know, they're doing a better job on the climate than we are. So it's this constant diet of fucking bullshit from Fox News that's
yeah.
really hurting us. And it's not only Fox News, but I think if you take that out of the equation, we would be in a different position today.
And if you're willing, this is the big lesson in all this. This is the lesson that the Trumpers especially are going to take away. The Republican Party, this is going to be their whole thing now. If you're willing to say anything, no matter how outlandish, sadistic, or false,
mm-hmm.
millions
yes.
of Americans, millions, 67 million of them so far, will mm-hmm. believe and mm-hmm. they will follow. That mm-hmm. is so immensely dangerous. And it's really hard to be the responsible grown-ups. And to counter that, because, right. you know, you take the choice between, you know, it's like a divorced family. You mm-hmm. either choose between yeah. the stern, you know, parent who's trying to do the right thing, raising a child,
yes.
or the super indulgent part-time parent who mm-hmm. only swoops in on the weekends with gifts and French fries. That is the difference here between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. It's not mom and dad. It's not the traditional male-female kind of constructs mm-hmm. for the two political parties. What we're talking about here is responsible behavior mm-hmm. versus Go and run and eat and indulge and fat and triglycerides and shittiness. That is that, and that always wins. Doesn't it always win?
Yeah.
Don't the kids always go, yeah, you know what? I want to go stay at that parent's house because I get to have parties and my friends over and soda. We, you know, I think so many of us, especially other Gen Xers, have all been through that. We all know how that equation works out.
We totally do. But wait, listen to this. Caitlin Collins, who is she with? CNN White House correspondent. The Trump campaign just announced a press conference in Philadelphia with Eric Lahr Trump, Pam Bondi, and Corey Lewandowski this afternoon.
Yeah, he always has to bring senior, a fucking entourage. Yeah,
senior campaign officials had a call with reporters earlier but didn't take any questions.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is going to be about the recount.
They're going to focus. Expect the red hat minions, the red hat army, the Fury Road, you know, flame-throwing guitar assholes to show up in Philadelphia, because that's where a lot of the outstanding mail-in ballots haven't been counted yet. And so I assume they're going to make a play to try to stop those ballots from being counted. They're going to run into a lot of embarrassing headwinds, though. I'm talking about the Trump people, because this is just, again, they can't pinpoint, at least not publicly, they haven't pinpointed any actual irregularities, just votes being counted. And the reason the votes are still being counted, Bill O'Reilly, you fuckwad, you, the reason
Justin, Trump campaign has sued Michigan now to stop counting votes.
There you go. Yeah. Well, this is all shit that we expected, right? Yeah,
the fuckery. The fuckery.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't allowed, because of Republican lawsuits, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin weren't allowed to start counting their mail-in ballots until Election Day. That's why it's taking longer. So it's like they fuck with the system and go, hey, wait a minute, why is the system so fucked up? It was like Bill O'Reilly. I couldn't fucking believe it. Bill O'Reilly's like, why is it taking so long to count all these votes? Well, why did you fucking read a newspaper, you fucking idiot? You know. All right. Well, David Plouffe just tweeted, Biden is ahead in enough places to win the presidency. Trump wants to count all the votes in those states to see if he can catch up. In Georgia and Pennsylvania, where he is currently ahead, he wants to stop counting. And Donald Trump only wants to count Donald Trump votes. So that's the latest from
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, we're not over this. This is not over yet, but it's looking really fucking good. So I think people need to be happy about where we are. Maybe not thrilled, but satisfied. I said to Rachel,
I can go with satisfied, but I'm not. If we don't take the Senate, I will be very upset, because there's going to be so much shit. And like I said, we won't be able to expand the court. There's a good chance we're going to see Roe v. Wade overturned, marriage equality, healthcare. I mean, that there's a lot to lose. Then, you know, and not only that, there's going to be other cases brought to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't even know yet.
Right.
And I don't trust. I just don't trust. So.
Well, sure. That. But I think ultimately.
I told you I'm a Debbie Downer.
Well, I just want to wrap up this. We'll end here. But I think that when the race is declared for Joe Biden, irrespective of how depressed some of us are right now, there will be dancing in the streets.
No, there will.
Make
be.
No and mistake.
I mean, I'll be happy. I know I will.
Trump will spend the last years of his life screaming about how he should have won this election.
Yes,
he will do whatever he can legally to overturn it. I don't think he's going to be successful at doing that, but we still need to watch out for any fuckery going on, because there is going to be fuckery. And 2000 taught us that, you know, anything's possible. But at the same time, once this is declared for Joe Biden, I think we do need to celebrate. I think we deserve to celebrate. Yes. And obviously, it's not the gigantic victory that we were hoping for, but it's the gigantic victory that was probably going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, the victory is freedom. The victory is democracy. The victory is the future of the republic versus this fascist weirdo who would spend another 4 years completely tearing things down, probably more than 4 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once this victory declaration is out there, we start looking to January 20th. Mm-hmm. And we realize that Joe Biden was always going to be someone to stop the hemorrhaging. Mm-hmm. And that's
stop the hemorrhaging.
Stop the hammering.
Oh, shit. Stop the hemorrhaging.
The hemorrhaging.
Stop the hammering.
That's too funny. Yeah. So and then it's going to be up to us once the bleeding is stopped to figure out how to fix this patient laying in front of us, the patient being the damaged American Republic. And so that's going to be the task moving forward. If Joe Biden had walked away with 400 electoral votes, that was still going to be the task. There was still going to be a huge and somewhat violent movement of red hats out there with nowhere to go. And Donald Trump, then a private citizen, continuing to stoke them along. And that was always going to happen. Always. So we have to be ready for that. And again, as Bradley Whitford keeps reminding us on Twitter, elections are just a comma. They're not a period. It's not the end. It's just a transition from one phrase to the next phrase. And, you know, I wish we could have a time where it was kind of, you know, peace and love, and we all just are, you know, going about talking about our favorite movies. And, but it's never going to be that. This is not where America is right now. There's too much media. There's too much information, and not enough people can adequately digest that information. So consequently, people are being manipulated by propaganda. People are being manipulated by technology, and that's the battle. And we need to accept what the terms of the battle happen to be, and then we can move forward with an adequate strategy to overcome it. But we have to accept what the actual, what the playing field looks like right now. Not what we, again, what I was saying before, not what we hope it will look like, but what it looks like now. And so that's how we start to win often.
Like Jen Kirkman said a couple of days ago, she's like, you know, in a couple of days, we're going to be starting the 2022, I guess, campaign cycle. It's like, it's true. I mean, that it's just, it's endless fucking campaigning now.
Right. Good luck to us all. As I've been saying the last week or so, Godspeed to the American Republic. Okay. I'm going to wrap up with this. I'll just use this as the outro music, huh?
Hey, can I take a minute just to do a little plug?
Yes, absolutely. Plug away.
Okay, this is just for my mom because she just had hip surgery and she's doing well, so that's good. But she, and I just want to put it out there that she wrote a book called The Melt, and it's about a global pandemic caused by climate change, and she started writing it in December of 2016. And so I just wanted to plug her book. It's called The Melt by Ann Werner, A-N-N-W-E-R-N-E-R. There's no E at the end of her name, so and it's on Amazon. So I just wanted to say that because if you're, you know, if you're a reader, and it's not a book that's going to make you crazy, so just keep that in mind. I mean, you're like, why should I read about a global pandemic now? it's actually not going to make you crazy because I've read it. So I just wanted to throw that plug in for her.
I'm sure she'll be appreciative of this music being behind her plug. This is totally appropriate for The Melt. Global catastrophe.
It's a good book.
Shit. And of course, your podcast is patreon.com/startmeup. It's also available everywhere you get your podcasts. We seldom say that on the after party, but it's.
And I'm going to share this podcast on my podcast today. And I'm also the author of Peyton's Choice, a book about teen abortion. That's on Amazon too.
Oh, so.
Climate, you can read about global pandemics and teen abortions.
Lots of uplifting reading material for the holidays. There you go. Okay, that's it, folks. Hang in there. We'll be back on Thursday tomorrow with another show. The Goth Ninjas will be here as usual. Usual Thursday show. Obviously, we'll be talking about this some more. And the after party on Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, good. All right, take it easy. See you next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The season of giving thanks is upon us. Right now, the special day of turkey, family, and football will be here before you know it. Before gathering with your family to share in your Thanksgiving traditions, it's important to allow some extra time for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best for your loved ones. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes, visibly reduced wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Numbers 11 and crow's feet. Take 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. We are talking about Photoshop in a can. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal at checkout. Thank you.